On this week's Widnes Rugby Chat, I catch up with Ant Walker following his shock exit from the club last week. Mike Parsons and I discuss the whats and whys from the Batley defeat at the weekend, and we just discuss what are the reasons Widnes seem to fall off following a good start each season, and whether they can turn around the recent dip in form. So, as always, we'll start by looking back at last weekend's match, and unfortunately for Widnes, it was a disappointing one, 24-16 home defeat against Batley, and a third straight defeat for Widnes, which again isn't great at this stage. Mike, what were your thoughts on the match?
Oh, well, to be honest, James, I think I'm starting to get worried about the podcast. I don't think we've done one, have we, since since winning, to be fair. But no, it started as it kind of was meant to go on, really. You know, it was the worst possible start due to a couple of technical issues in the north stand with the tills. I just took my seat to sit and watch the game. And
Is that why they were low? To be honest, I sat in the north stand on Sunday for the first time this season. Obviously, I've been working all the other games, and I did notice that there was a lot of queues. I didn't realise that there was an issue.
Yeah, the tills had gone down, so obviously everything had become a standstill, and then people was rushing to get upstairs and leaving what they were buying, and then others were waiting. So that took its time to sort itself out. But yeah, I'd literally just sat down and, you know, Batley catch the ball and, you know, it straight away thing not switching on from the off, really, wasn't it? You know, expecting...
Yeah. You think there was an obstruction in it?
I don't, to be fair.
My dad was fuming at the time. I mean, I have seen the video and I didn't see it at the time, and I can see why he was a little bit. I think it was Walshaw who runs through into the line, and he does sort of get in the way a little bit. It's one of them. Probably if it was a Super League match, might well have gone video ref, but Widnes did have enough time to shut it down before it got to the end. I mean, even the referee had almost put his hand up to signal end of set at one point because he thought Nixon Putt was tackled.
Yeah,
and then he managed to squirm it out, and they scored that first try. And I suppose that set the tone, didn't it, really, for the game?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely did. And it, like I say, it was just switching off. And like even, I think, Mike Butt put the tackle in and the ball's free on the floor and there was just nobody reacting. And, you know, when they did shift the ball originally, you know, you could tell the players they were slow to react and slide because they was expecting a fifth and last kick. And it just never come. And the frustrating part was even when, again, you get to the kick chase, which I'm taking absolutely nothing away from Lucas Walshaw. What a piece of skill from a back rower. It was a fantastic try. And we can sit here and analyse the defence all day long. But it was, the way they moved the ball and the chip and chase at the end was fantastic. But there was even kind of a little bit of a delay in a switch off of, I think we could have got to the ball and kicked into Rose Ed, to be honest. But we was trying to kind of let the ball bobble out and take, you know, the 20 restart. And, you know, he got in there just in the nick of time and grounded the ball.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's always tough with them off-the-cuff plays because, like you say, you know, fair play to him for, you know, doing what he did. He could do that. He'd do that another 10 times and it'd bounce dead probably 9 times. So, can't take him. I thought Widnes got opened up a bit too often on the left edge. And I don't think it was because, you know, Keenan Brand played. I don't think it was his fault. I don't think he defended badly in any way. But I wonder whether a Widnes maybe suffering a little bit from the upheaval that they've had on that side. You know, obviously, Joe Edge being injured. They've been changing the wingers. You know, Sam Wild sort of being bouncing back and two both ways. Rodri Lloyd probably being the same. I wonder whether is that causing issues, or is that just too simplistic way of looking at it?
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, we've had, you know, Tom Nisbet's operated there as well, Max Roberts, and this is just recent weeks. And I think, I'll be honest, with Batley's game plan, they stuck to a clear game plan and they wanted to go down the middle. And I do think if they'd have shifted it a little bit more to that side, they'd have got even more joy, because you could see there was a nervousness to our defence. And, you know, Keenan Brand, you know, he's not played a lot of rugby, has he, of late, let's face it. And then you marry that up with Ollie Brooks, who, by the way, was absolutely outstanding at Sheffield. And I think he's a really good player. But when you pair them together, you know, you've got a lad who I don't think's played a competitive league game before last week in the league. And then you pair it with another loan signing coming into the centres, who, again, I think he played a match at Oddsall earlier in the season. And then other than that, you know, a couple of dual reg appearances up at Barrow last year, it looked like two players paired together who haven't played a lot of rugby. And I think it was just causing a little bit of anxiety and nervousness, you know, maybe like kind of double checking themselves, should they move up, should they stay? And it just didn't seem in sync.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brooks will probably be disappointed with his tackle effort on Morton for the second try. I mean, Widnes got into the lead basically when Batley were on the back foot with 12 men. I think Widnes had four penalties on the spin and didn't really look. I think probably for the first time, I don't know whether it's right in saying this. You might disagree with me. It was almost like the first time I've really thought Widnes looked quite flat in attack with the ball. Like, normally this season, don't get me wrong, Widnes haven't scored loads of points this season, but when they've had the ball, you felt they've at least got something there. But it reminded me a little bit of that first Swinton game where they had loads of pressure on the line, never looked like scoring. And I was worried that they looked a bit like that again on Sunday and just a bit flat.
It was very jaded, and I think it come hand in hand with the crowd. The crowd was flat because there was nothing to get up for, and then there's no like real like support coming back onto the pitch because it was just all around flat on and off the pitch. And you're absolutely right. There was a lot of signs of that Swinton game. I think one thing that really stood out to me, and in fairness, we was calling for it a little bit to see how it would go, would be Lloyd Roby, you know, dropping into the halves and, you know, at fullback, and it just didn't work out. And I think Joe Lyons is going to waltz back into that team. And I think as well, even there was a 10-15 minute period where I thought after we scored, after Batley scored, sorry, we scored two tries ourselves, and probably the only period of the game we spent a bit of time in Batley's half for about 10 minutes. And you know, even in that point, everything was coming through Gilmore, you know, and Lloyd Roby was getting shut down very quickly and easily, and it was almost as if when we did have the ball, we was playing with one half back. So I think Tom Gilmore missed Joe Lyons as well, to be honest, you know, as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we talked about Roby last week, and it was interesting that, you know, I thought the club put out an interesting interview with Alan Coleman pre-match where we discussed his team selection, and, you know, Joe Lyons had a cut, I think he said, and they thought, well, you know, Lloyd Roby's been looking for a chance. We thought instead of risking Joe Lyons, we'll give him a go. And to be honest, I was disappointed, I think, with Lloyd Roby. I think when you look at other players who've come into the team this season, so, you know, Ollie Brooks being a good example, players who've come into the team, they've been given the chance and they've really taken it with both hands. You know, you could argue Max Roberts is the same. You know, he got a chance in the pack where maybe weren't expecting it, took it with both hands. I just thought Roby was... And again, I don't know whether it's because he's, you know, clearly he's not an experienced halfback. He's barely played there in his career. We think that there's something in him playing at halfback, but ultimately, he's an experienced at halfback, and maybe there's a case to say that it's not going to be something that he can just plug into and become overnight. Someone somewhere is going to have to coach him for a long time to make him play, and it might be that he doesn't suit Gilmore as a partnership. You know, Lyons and Gilmore might be the perfect, you know, a bit like Brown and Mellor in the Super League days, where you've clearly got one, you know, one functional halfback who can run or can tackle, and then you've got the one who's calling the shots, basically. I think what I was more disappointed was how poor Roby was in the second half when he got moved to fullback. You know, I think a lot of people have been calling for him to play fullback over Jack Owens, and I think Sunday's game probably highlighted exactly why he isn't. You know, the kick with Mike Butt was a disaster. I don't know whose fault that was. But then even, you know, there was leaving a kick going goal, and then he knocked on at the play of the ball, and it was just a bad afternoon for him. I felt a bit sorry for him, to be honest. At the end, he got subbed off, but the bottom line is, and it's you're playing semi-professional rugby league. It's difficult for players like that when they're not in the team, and then you're expecting them to come in and perform. But ultimately, that's what they're paid to do at the end of the day. And unfortunately, it was probably an afternoon to forget. I mean, clearly only those in the squad or the coach will know whose call it was for the kick. But does that happen if Jack Owens is fullback? I don't think so. I think literally that's because that's pretty much the first time Roby's been in at fullback, and clearly the signals or the partnerships that have built up between the back three, whether it be Owens, Butt, Brooks, they know how Owens deals. Maybe they just weren't used to how Roby was going to deal with the kick, and maybe there's been a miscommunication. Maybe there's an agreement that Mike Butt comes for kicks in that area of the pitch when Jack's at fullback, and you know, so you could then ask the question, well, was it wise to swap the fullback and the halfback round at half time? You know, Jack Owens went in at standoff. You can question that, but it was just a flat performance, really.
It was, and like that second half there that you touched on, I mean, bad went to worse, and then it went to pandemonium, to be quite honest with you. I mean, the Mike Butt and Lloyd Roby collision / drop ball. One of Jack's strengths, we've all seen it. The Sheffield game highlighted it, because you're that close to the pitch. He's a talker. He's an organiser. He's constantly talking and shouting and barking orders at people in front of him, you know, left of him, right of him. And you can't help but think, when them two come for the ball, we've not seen Mike Butt do that yet. And I don't want to put, there was two players involved in it, but you can't help but think, if Jack Owens is at fullback, whether the ball gets dropped, that's a different story. But you can't help but think that there'd be just one person going to collect it rather than the two.
Yeah, and I think
you said about it then, I think it got so far in because of the first half, not much happened, you know, in the halves in terms of creativity. His confidence was clearly knocked, and, you know, balls being left to bounce and rolling over, you know, staying in the play but rolling into the in-goal area. And then we even had one in the end where the ball went up, and I think it was Jack Owens ended up volleying the ball 30 yards backwards. And you need calmness, don't you? And you need communication. And unfortunately, it just went from bad to worse. And I'll be honest, I really felt for him, to be honest, because he got hooked, and we ended up at the end of the game. I think we ended up with finishing with Fleming at fullback. I think that's the first time in a long time I've seen us not have an injury at fullback, and you've had three fullbacks in a game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think and it's hard because I don't want to be too critical of an individual player, and I almost feel I think clearly Lloyd Roby is. Got ability as a rugby player. I think he's probably in the situation now where he's got decent utility value, but like it affects players in different ways, doesn't it? Where it's all right being a utility player, but it's almost like it feels like he wants to be a key player. You know, he's got the ability to do that, but it's like, what is his position? What is his strongest position? And I think that's. And it's very difficult when they're part-time to work on that sort of thing and try and figure that out when you're trying to get results as well. So it'll be interesting. I was quite surprised when he left the club the first time, you know, went to Keighley, whatever, then came back. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with him and what, you know, what maybe Alan Coleman's got earmarked. I wondered whether, you know, was he a solution at centre, but... You know, again, that's just because you're sort of pigeonholing him because you know he's a decent rugby player. So you're thinking, well, can we just shove him in there? When actually, it's going to be, you ask Lloyd Roby, what do you think? Where do you want to play? Right, I want to be a fullback. He focuses on fullback. And ultimately, if that's what he wants, then probably being at Widnes is probably no good for him because Widnes have got have got a fullback who's, you know, he's just signed a, what, 3-year deal. You know, it's a bit like when Jack Owens was at Widnes when he was a youngster. You know, Rhys Ambry was a fullback and Jack Owens couldn't get a look in, so he ended up having to go elsewhere. That might be the reality of that situation. But I think, hopefully, Roby looks at that game and thinks, right, next time I get a chance in this team, I've got to do better than what I did on Sunday. And listen, it wasn't down to him that Widnes lost. It was just a poor team performance all around.
It was, and just to finish on Lloyd, actually, I think Lloyd is a fantastic player. Actually, I think he's a great broken field runner, and we've seen him play many games at fullback. And that Doncaster game earlier in, you know, the season, he was quite outstanding, to be honest. But like you've just highlighted there, really, I think it's probably the most difficult thing to do, assuming that he wants to be a fullback, which, you know, he might not be, but that's the impression I get. It's probably the most difficult thing to juggle for a coach, having two, you know, players who want to be established fullbacks, because, like you say, there's only one on the pitch, isn't there? And you don't really carry one on the bench, do you?
Yeah, and I think Matt Fleming wants to play fullback. I mean, yeah. I haven't spoke to him, I haven't asked him, but I think Fleming played his best rugby for Widnes when he was playing fullback, and he seemed to enjoy it a lot more playing fullback. But he understands, you know, he understands Owens' first choice, and ultimately Widnes haven't got any centres, so he has to play centre. But you're right in what you say, you can only pick one there, and ultimately Widnes is key, you arguably the key player plays there. So there's a tight budget, you've only got so many players, it might be that Widnes need to look at padding out some other positions if that's the case. I suppose one argument you could make is would the reason why Roby maybe had a good game against Doncaster was because Widnes got on top of the middle, and that was certainly an area they struggled on Sunday. I did read a few comments from people who raised the size of the Widnes team at Ant Walker, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. It was the first game since he left to go to Swinton, but also Sam Brooks was named as 18th man, wasn't in the 17. Whether maybe Alan Coleman thought they were going to move Batley around a bit more and so wanted a bit more of a mobile pack, but was the size of the options available an issue?
Yeah, I think, like, look, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a lot easier speaking about it now than, you know, when the team sheet comes up and a ball hasn't been kicked. But certainly on reflection, you know, I sound like a bit of a broken record, but I think after that first try we conceded, we responded quite well. And again, Murray and Kirk being on the pitch, and they did all right. And as soon as they, you know, they left the pitch, you know, we struggled for traction. And I'll be honest, like, I've got a little bit of a thing noted down here, James. I'd love to know your opinion on it. But can we effectively play with Nick Gregson, Jordan Johnson and Max Roberts all being named in a forward pack? I don't think we can. I think somebody's got to give there, because I think for me, since Nick Gregson's been injured, Jordan Johnson needs to drop to loose forward when Fozard comes on, because he's took the position by storm. He's an extra pair of hands, aggressive defence, and he, to be honest, the last couple of weeks, even though we've had some difficult defeats, Jordan's been one of the best.
I think I've done the League Express report the last three games, and I think I've given Jordan Johnson man of the match in all three of the games. From a witness point of view,
just to finish my point, then that leaves you with Max Roberts and Nick Gregson, and for me, you need one of them two players if you're going to play that way, starting at loose forward, because that period of the game just into the second half, where I think we really struggled. I think the last 10 minutes was just kind of trying to throw anything at it, to be honest with you, and it went from bad to worse. But I think where we really struggled in the game was when we had Jordan Johnson at loose forward, and it was nothing to do with any individual performance. It was more of a collection of how we were shaping up against, you know, a formidable in size Batley Park. You know, you've got Roberts propping one side and Lewis Brogan, and I felt sorry for Lewis Brogan because he just had no size, and Max and Jordan, he was running it in hard, you know what I mean? But Batley was just coming over us and we just couldn't get out and was falling deeper and deeper.
I thought Brogan had a decent game. I thought he had a decent game. I think what's possibly causing the issue, and well, when I say issue, I don't mean issue, but I think the situation at the moment is Johnston has been, you know, if you were doing a player of the month for June, Johnston would get it, in my opinion. He's now starting the games at hooker. And I think because he's playing so well and defensively, he sets the tone. Ultimately, when Matty Fozard comes on, they want to keep Johnston on so he gets moved to loose forward. I actually thought Fozard should have come on a lot earlier on Sunday. I thought that they needed him livening it up round the play of the ball. I think maybe we might have got to a point where have they got a bit too comfortable with the whole Johnston starting games at nine and then Fozard coming on half hour in? Have other teams read that and thought, oh, that's obviously what Widnes are doing? Maybe it is time to say, look, there are going to be some games where Matty Fozard starts at nine, and whether that means Johnston starts on the bench or starts loose forward, so be it. Because I just think when it was earlier in the season, it was a lot more, you know, Johnston wasn't playing the full game necessarily. And I'm not saying it's an issue that he's playing the full game by all means, but I just wonder whether they've lost that flexibility that they had earlier in the season where some games, because I think there's certain games where Fozard's liveliness around the play of the ball makes a massive difference. And I, even after 10 minutes on Sunday, I thought they need Fozard around the play of the ball. And I think that, you know, and that tees into your question about the 13 is then, if you're then carrying Johnston as a 13 and, you know, you take Fozard off, you've got to make sure that whoever's coming on is going to replace him again. And you mentioned Max Roberts. I think he's done a decent job in the forwards, but he's not the biggest, you know, and especially when you look at who, you know, Batley brought Kabula. I thought Kabula had a good game for Batley. They had Nixon, Port, and I think size wise, he's just not quite there for what you need. I think, like you say, you've probably got too many players of similar size that aren't going to hurt teams. So yeah, there's plenty of questions I think at the moment of how Alan Colum can freshen it up, really, because they've just hit a little bit of a rut at the moment. Just one win in six now, and even the two wins before that run of one in six were by 1 point and 2 points. So yeah, it's not firing, you know, by all means, not firing on all cylinders. But I don't think it's throw the baby out the bathwater type situation. I just think there's just a few little tweaks here and there that need to happen.
Yeah, and I think as well, just to finish off on that point as well, I think, you know, the bizarre situation that you're in is, yes, you know, the form guide tells you that, but also a lot of them games we could have won. The scoreline didn't blow out. You know, we haven't been hammered. You know, it's been narrow losses. So, you know, that's a positive. You know, certainly from Sunday. I mean, what was that? I mean, we've kind of spoke through it there, and you know, up until about 5 or 6 minutes to go, there's 2 points in the game, and really, you know, I think Alan said it in his interview, a couple of the fans have said it, you know, we're kind of talking about it. It's probably been one of the most disappointing performances we've seen from this Widnes team this year, but still, with 5 minutes to go, you could have been talking about how on earth have we won that game, but we have.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the games, if you break the games down, the fixtures that we played, I think I've seen someone on Twitter saying it's the halfway point of the season. You played 13 games. I think if you break down the games and look on paper what you'd expect to win, I think probably the ones Widnes have probably squandered are Whitehaven at home. You'd expect another point from that. They drew. Batley at home, you'd maybe say, yeah, you'd want to win there, but then not got the greatest record about this. So say you've got 3 points there that you've dropped at home unexpectedly, but then you could say, well, maybe you wouldn't expect to win at Bradford, so you claw them back. So you're probably only a point off, in my opinion, where you should be based on the games that Widnes have played. That's with all due respect to the teams that they play. You know, York away is probably a 50-50 one, so you could even argue that they're a point ahead of where they need to be. I think there's just the worry that these last six games, they're in a bit of a rut with it, and they need to try and they just need to get back on the horse, don't they, and get some wins back on the board.
They absolutely do. And I think, to be honest, I think we've arguably got the, you know, an ideal game coming up for that now. You know, Swinton, you know, Allen's ex, you know, ex club, Rodri Lloyd, Mike Butt's ex club. They obviously got the win last time we played at that ground, which very disappointing afternoon for us. And then you throw into the mix, you know, kind of, you know, Jake Spedding, Jaden Hatton, they play up there, played for us. So there's a lot of kind of different stories in the fixture. And, you know, it's not one that you want to be losing for a second time this season. So I think there's plenty of motivation. And I think certainly off that performance on Sunday, you know, one thing that I think we can all be confident that we've seen so far from this Alan Coleman regime that we've seen is we will not lack effort. And I think there will be a reaction. You know, I can't see us having putting two performances like that together under Alan. So, you know, there's definitely a massive incentive for a big performance on Sunday. And let's hope we get it.
Yep. So witness away at Swinton this weekend, and Ant Walker, who's just signed for Swinton from Widnes, won't be allowed to play in the fixture as per the agreement between the two sides. My dad was on holiday when they announced that, so he was very disappointed when I told him at the airport that Widnes had let him go. We touched on it a little bit last week, Mike, but I suppose in some ways Sunday's game perhaps highlighted maybe why Ant Walker is or was an asset to this Widnes team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm in the camp of I'm a massive Ant Walker fan, so that's first and foremost for me. It is sod's law sometimes, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I think he's just departed, and I think on Sunday was probably the perfect game where you needed Ant to come on and shake it up a little bit. You know, when Ant enters the pitch, there's a little bit of not knowing what to expect. Is they're gonna, you know, he's got a cracking offload in his game. He's got a brilliant, you know, pass, and he can even drop in at first receiver and help the halfbacks play wider. And certainly with the shape of Batley's pack and what they was doing to us, he's certainly somebody who can dent the line as well, and you know, break the game up, break the momentum up. So, yeah, no, he was a massive miss, to be fair, I think, on Sunday.
I see people question his fitness, and I would always say to them, watch the game Widnes played against Doncaster, I think it was, this season, where I think he played about 70 minutes because Liam Kirk got injured after about 2 minutes, because I thought Walker was excellent that day, and he got absolutely robbed of the official man of the match. I've got a bit of a bugbear about the situation. Well, no, I haven't. A bugbear is a little bit too much, but I just wonder whether Widnes have been a bit soft with the situation, to be honest. Clearly there's issues, I think, in rugby league with this anti-tampering deadline being May the 1st. So clubs have to effectively inform players that whether they're going to offer them a deal or not for the following season by May the 1st. And if not, then, well, even if they don't offer them a deal, players are able to engage with other clubs after May the 1st. So the situation, as we know it, is that Widnes or Alan Coleman has told Ant Walker he's not getting a deal for next season. Fine. Ant Walker's then had a conversation with Swinton. Swinton have basically turned around and said, we'll give you X-year deal, but only if you come immediately. He's then asked the question of Widnes, and then Widnes have said, okay, you know, that's best for Ant. Now, I understand that that's best for Ant, but is it best for Widnes Vikings? And I think, although I'm all for looking after players and stuff like that, I feel like Widnes have got to start being stronger in them situations, because ultimately, whether Ant Walker's got a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year deal lined up somewhere else, for 2024, he was on contract at Widnes Vikings. And regardless of whether Widnes are offering him a deal for 2025, if Widnes need him in 2024, he was a contracted player for them in 2024. And I just, don't get me wrong, there's a way to deal with players. And I think you don't want to be this club that's seen as, oh, we treat players terribly. But I think in that situation, Widnes have got to put their needs first. At the end of the day, the part-time, the semi-professional rugby league players, if Swinton are basically saying, we're only going to offer him a one-year deal because Widnes won't release him early, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. That shouldn't be Widnes Vikings' problem. And we've seen it a few times, I think, in my opinion, you know, the ones to Super League, you can't do anything about. You can't stand in the way of a Tyler Dupree getting a Super League deal. But did Widnes get a good deal for Tyler Dupree? No. And I just think, and I might be wrong. I might be completely wrong, but that's just my impression of that situation.
Yeah. Look, I don't disagree with what you've just said, to be fair. I think where what this boils down to, personally, in my point of view, I think if I was to throw my pound into the mix of why Anser's gone elsewhere, I think it's got to be down to the minutes, because, you know, you look at Murray and Kirk, who have come in, Langtree, Rodri Lloyd, they can all play long minutes. So from a coach's point of view, I think there is a clear philosophy there of wanting middles who can play sustained periods of time. Whether people agree with that or not, that's a different story. For me personally, I think last year when we had players like Adam Lawton and Ant Walker, you were carrying one too many of them, where it was being detrimental to us. Whereas we've narrowed that down, and like this season, just having Ant really in that bracket, as long as he's coming on the pitch and being effective and, you know, mixing it up, I have no issues with that. But I think where the decisions probably come into play, and I think the million-dollar question is how the loan goes, first and foremost, and then secondly, does it stay until the end of the season, and is that absolute concrete? Because we've all seen what can happen with loan deals like that in the past. But I think Alan is a massive admirer of Lewis Brogan. You know, we signed him from Lee Miners to Swinton. Looks like, you know, obviously got his Super League deal at Lee, and, you know, highly rated and well-deserved. And, you know, as soon as Alan got the opportunity, he's in on loan, and then it's been extended straight away. So I do think this was more of an opportunity to maybe get Lewis Brogan in on a more permanent basis because of how much of an admirer Alan is of him. And then secondly, obviously, you've got Keenan Brand, where we all know on that left-hand side, we've had about four, five, six different centres. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Brogan's only played the one game for Lee off the bench against Castleford. He was 18th man for one game. So he's not really had much of a look at Lee, whether that's because of their player availability or whether that's because he's not being quite up to the standard they need, remains to be seen. Talking about players, Widnes have been linked with Jake Mason of Whitehaven, who's a bit of a speedster. You put me onto this earlier. Matt Short, I know Matt really well, and he's linked Widnes with Mason. He was at Halifax, who, well, probably had a mare getting rid of him because he's been excellent for Whitehaven this season. And he had been tipped to go to Bradford, but it seems that Widnes have perhaps stolen a march on for Mason. And to be honest, Matt's not usually far wrong. So, well, he's a centre, and Widnes are desperate for a centre. Part of me wonders whether Widnes can pull an Ant Walker deal on Jake Mason and say to Whitehaven, look, we'll sign him on a 2.5-year deal if you release him early.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? And I tell you something, James, I'd drive up there myself and get him. He's fantastic, mate. Honestly, everything that we need. I think the centre, obviously, discussion that we've just had, absolutely. But also what he does provide as well is it's that cover for fullback without being an out-and-out fullback. You know, he's already shown against us his quality there. I mean, I think he scored a hat-trick against us. One was supporting an interception. The next was, Lachlan Hennigan chip over, and he runs round, no fullback, picks the ball up and goes over for a try. And then the last one just absolutely skinned Tom Nisbet just by raw pace on the outside from a scrum play. I think our back line, without being critical of anybody, I think, you know, we've got some good players in there. You know, Joe Edge is a fantastic player. Ryan Ince, what a signing Mike Butt's been. But I think the one thing we lack is just that bit of stardust, X factor, a player who, you know, you can spread the ball out in your own half, and if you get one-on-ones out wide, you've got a player who can really put the burners on and, you know, break through the line and finish it off. And, you know, one of them tries where at the end of the season, you're talking about it being try of the season. I think he's got a bit of X factor about him and a bit of stardust.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kieran Dixon's got those things. I think part of the issue, is that the way the teams are set up is the wingers, it's all about what they do in bringing the ball back up. But yeah, it would be nice. Mason would be... It's nice to have witness linked to players who you're thinking, oh yeah, you know, they'd make a difference. That's with all due respect to some of the players witness have been linked to in previous years. It's nice to be, you know, Mason's been probably one of the standout performers in Championship this season. It's nice that witness are getting linked to that sort of player rather than, you know, I know people were moaning the other year when they signed four from Oldham in League One. You know, this is the sort of thing that fans want to see. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Matt also mentions Ryan Lannan, who we touched on last week. So that sounds like it's a fairly done deal. So fingers crossed. Before we go on, you've got some questions for me, Mike, I believe. But before we go on to that, I just want to mention I tweeted earlier. Well, depends when you're listening, I suppose. Widnes coasters. I don't know if you've seen them, Mike.
I've put it on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, I persuaded the people at the coaster store to... I noticed that they had some other teams on there, so I persuaded them to do some Widnes ones, and I had to give them a short list of players and whatnot, and so I apologise to any oldies listening if I've missed off anyone obvious. But yeah, get my Twitter at JDG Sport. The link's on there, but it's on thecoasterstore.co.uk. It's I think they're based locally, so always good to support local businesses and all that. So have a look at that. Right, Mike, you've been in charge of the mailbox this week.
Yeah, a couple of questions for you, James. First one is from Jack Mason. Do you put the recent run of form down to the tough fixtures, or is it a bit more of a worry than that? I think that's a good question, and certainly at this moment in time, the results are what they are. I think it's very relevant, to be fair. What are your thoughts?
I mentioned this at the end of May. On 25th of May, I tweeted that I hope that Widnes's run... It was after the Toulouse game, actually, that I tweeted that although Widnes played all right against Toulouse, I hope that it wasn't a sign of what we've seen in previous seasons. And then, unfortunately, it's not really picked up a great deal since then. At the time, I had a look at what Widnes's win percentage was in Championship February, March, April. And it's 66% if you include this season. And then after May the 1st, it's 39%. So that's based on the 2019, 2022, 2023 seasons. Obviously, the 20 and 21 were hit by COVID, so I've not included them in that data. Widnes's win percentage after May the 1st this season is currently 29%. Now, the obvious, we've talked about it a little bit, the only obvious barometer for me at the moment is the May the 1st contract discussions point. Whether it's coincidence, I don't know. But for me, clearly, whatever is going on, it's not being handled in the right way. And I know for a fact that it wasn't handled in the right way last season, ultimately why John Keir left or why things got untenable with John Keir. I hope that that's not the reason for this season. Now, Widnes haven't dropped off as badly as in previous seasons, but clearly it's a little bit of a... You know, and I've seen some comments from people as well saying, oh, here we go again, because it does seem that it's happening year in, year out. Widnes have a really strong start to the season and then fall off. And you can't even attribute it necessarily to the fixture list either. And so yeah, I can only think that's the only thing I've got to explain it is something the way that May the 1st deadline is being handled isn't being handled in the right way. That can be that's the only theory I have. I might be completely wrong. It might just be coincidence. But the thing is, we've changed coaches, changed players, and you still got that same. Hopefully this season it won't go as south as it has previous seasons. But at the moment, we're in the midst of the usual decline.
I think the next couple of games with that one are going to be, you know, crucial. And as it stands, we are still in the playoffs by a couple of points and a couple of wins. You know, now it's still not the end of the world, but I do think these next two games are crucial, to be fair.
Yeah, I think if Widnes win the next two games, I think they'll be okay for playoffs. I think that'll set the tone. They've still got a little bit of a cushion. You know, and I don't want to make it sound negative because I think, like when we went through the games before, I think Widnes are probably only a point off or a point better, depending on whether your glasses are full or empty, of where they should be.
Yeah.
Based on the fixtures. So if you look at it like that, okay, the current run of games isn't great, but if you shuffled up the order of them games, you'd be quite happy to be where you are now. Priority this season, finishing the top six, that's the bottom line. I'm sure that'll remain Alan Coleman's priority, and I'm sure they've demonstrated enough so far this season that they can do that. But you can't, because of the seasons that we've witnessed, you can't help but think the same as what we have seen in previous seasons.
Absolutely, no, I agree. Second question from Jack Mason again, actually. Is there any more updates on the Widnes Vikings development squad, and when would you expect to see any talent emerge from it?
I have been thinking we could probably do with getting Roger on and asking him about it. I would imagine that it'll be tied into the academic year, so I would probably, I know that they have been playing, haven't they? I think they had a couple of games. I would imagine that it'll probably ramp up from the next academic year, so then they'll no doubt be recruiting people for starting college in September. And so whether that means an increase in standard for next season, who knows? In terms of how long will it be until we see anyone, I think that's difficult. It's probably unfair to put that pressure on the club, to be honest. I think Alan Coleman and Tom Wood, to be fair, they're both very well connected in the community and development, and so they're probably the right people to be overseeing it. But you have to remember that there are St Helens, Warrington, Wigan will be hoovering up anyone who's half decent in Widnes. So the people who are going to end up in these development squads are going to be players who've not been picked up and have had to go down another route with their learning. And the hope is that you find some that are good enough to play part-time professional rugby league. But I think it's probably going to be a while until we see anyone step up, in my opinion, unless you get lucky that someone's being dodged by the pro teams. I think the hoovering, I think St Helens announced some deals the other week, and I think half of them were from Halton Farm of Hornets. They pick up that many players, the pro teams, that there's not really a lot of them left. And maybe you can say it's a concern. There's a pattern where they get picked up, and then if they get let go at 16, they're lost to the game. Hopefully, it means this sort of thing means that those players won't be lost to the game, but we'll have to see. I think you've just got to take it as a positive that something's happening now, and who knows, in the next couple of years, we might see some come through, but I wouldn't have massive expectations at this point because it's just starting. And that might be why we've not heard a great deal about it, because I think the club themselves will be quite keen to, of course, they're going to shout it from the rooftops when there is success, but I think they need to be pragmatic and realistic about, everyone wants to see academy products coming through, but this is a completely different setup to the academy that we've known previous.
No, absolutely. No, that's a fair point. And like you say, like you touched on there, you know, having St. Helens, Warrington, Wigan all in the area, you know, it's certainly an uphill battle. But one thing I will add to that is it's a massive positive having Alan and Tom as coaches at the club, in the respect of, you know, they've already, you know, got a history of finding them little nuggets and gems in the amateur game. Lewis Brogan being one from Lee Miners. I think Andy Badrock come from there as well, who's a regular at Swinton. And I think I read a couple of weeks ago there was a Super League club sniffing around him. Whether that comes off, I'm not too sure. But, you know, hopefully they can maybe find a couple of gems for us like that as well. And the last one is from Jacob Melvin. Do you have any ideas of further income streams and additional revenue that the club could take advantage of?
I have a million ideas. Whether people want to listen is another question. I mean, there's always different ways you can bring money in. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had any dealings with the commercial person at the club, so I don't know. You know, I don't know what's happening with sponsorship and stuff like that. There seems to be the odd announcement here and there. There doesn't seem to be loads of sponsorship going on. I think the hospitality's looked, the last few games I've been up there, the hospitality's looked a bit fuller than it has done in previous seasons. I think it's always difficult because of the stadium situation. You know, you're always limited to what you can do when you're just renting the stadium. But I think the website could be a lot better. I think even the online shop and the items that they've got for sale could be a lot better. I don't get a chance to go to the shop, so I don't know whether there's more stuff that's being sold in the market compared to the website. You know, I wonder whether, you know, player sponsorship, you know, we put player sponsorship up to corporates. Is there an avenue for that to become a more, I think making sponsorship and stuff like that a bit more accessible to fans would probably be more useful. I think at the moment it's very not cloak and dagger, because that sounds a bit disingenuous, but it happens behind the scenes. Whereas I think they should open up sponsorship and make it accessible for anybody to get to. Like, I haven't really got much of a clue how you sponsor a player or how you sponsor a match, or how, you know, if I can have an ad board, I don't know. And I'm fairly close to it. I have a business. But, you know, no, I've never had a conversation with anybody about sponsorship, and I don't even know really what's there. So I think probably pushing out what's there a bit more. And asking what fans want. Ultimately, it's fans that spend money. If there's things that fans want and say that they'll buy, then, you know, maybe the club should look at making them. But I understand that the logistics and resources, I think, you know, I know full too well from work I've done with clubs in the past. It is difficult, but you can, there are plenty of revenue streams to open if you look at them. So I think probably the club could probably do with a bit of a modernisation in terms of the brand. I wouldn't change the logo or anything, but I just think like a new web, probably new website is probably needed. Do a bit more around the player imagery and maybe improve the online shop, stuff like that, and try and get people going. Hold more events. I mean, I don't know whether that's an option. And we've got the quiz night for Widnes Phipps this week. You know, do fans want to see more events like that? I know they did the 40th anniversary dinner, which I presume went well. I didn't go, but things like that are good. Keeping fans engaged helps you generate revenue.
I was just about to say, the John Devereux night, I'd like to see a few more events like that happen again, because I think also what it does, certainly from that crop of players from the 80s, it maybe generates fans towards the club who you may have lost along the way over the years. And, you know, if you can get them in the bridge suite for a night and you can engage with them, and you've got a chance of getting them back to a game or two, and then see where that takes you perhaps as well. So yeah, certainly, I mean, past players' nights, I'd be up for a few more of them. I know we've had a few.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I don't know. I know Rod at the club's obviously big on them. I mean, you know, it's before my time, so I don't have a massive amount of interest in them, but, you know, I can understand that other people do. I think anything like that that tugs on people's, you know, nostalgia is always a big thing. You know, I thought the Vips did a thing. Oh, sorry, for the Jack Owens testimonial when he did stuff with like Kevin Brown and Danny Tickle and stuff. I think people my age or people my age or younger will engage with that because they're the players that they grew up with playing, watching, I should say. So, look, there's loads of different things you can do. It's just whether the club want to do them or whether they're receptive to them being done. I certainly think sponsorship could be more accessible than it is. And I don't know whether that's a little bit of paranoia. They don't want to give away too much. You know, you don't, I suppose they've got this challenge where they don't want to be seen to be doing too well because then the council might charge them more money for using the ground and stuff like that. I think that's partly a politics battle that you're always facing. But I'd like to think that people within the club are having these conversations and ultimately every penny that goes into the club means that the club have either got less to worry about or they can invest it in the team.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree.
So, great. So, Widnes in action on Sunday away at Swinton. And hopefully we'll be back next week with something more positive, Mike.
Well, hopefully we'll be speaking about a W instead of an L. be a lot nicer conversation, wouldn't it? I think it's a pivotal game, isn't it? You know, we need a good performance. I'm confident in that. I think we'll get one. I think, you know, if from the circles are mixing, I know there's three or four coaches again, which is great considering the run of results that we've been on are going to be at Swinton, and then you've got your drive ups as well. One thing I would say, again, it's a difficult ground to do it because, like, similar to Sheffield, where you spread out. But if people could maybe congregate at that shed end at the bottom together to try and generate a bit of atmosphere, and hopefully it filters onto the pitch, and you know the players can bounce off it, and you know we can kind of help them get over the line. But no, I expect Joe Lyons to be back in the team. I think he'll be in there. And I do think we will see Sam Brooks in there somewhere too. Who drops out, I'm not sure. If I'm going to put a pound on it, I'd say maybe Nick Gregson drops out, start Max Roberts at loose forward and Sam Brooks drops in.
Well, we will see. I think we'll see Kieran Dixon myself. I think he will play. I am commentating on Sunday, so if you're not at the game, it's on BBC Radio Merseyside Online, which is excellent news because that means I get a free Lion Bar, which Ian Rigg, the long-term Swinton media manager, gives everyone in the press a Lion Bar, which I'll very much look forward to.
I'll tell you what, that's a hell of an incentive, that, isn't it, to be fair? Free Lion Bar, you can't complain there, can you?
Yeah, I'm more than happy with that. So yeah, that'll be the highlight of my afternoon on Sunday. Right then, so before the weekend, me and Mike have whittled on for long enough, so it's what you've been waiting for, the interview with Ant Walker, who left Widnes last week to join Swinton, Widnes' opponents this Sunday, of course. Ant, thanks for taking some time out to join us.
Oh, no worries, mate.
You're here by popular demand. a few people have been into me wanting to speak to me. So just, I mean, I know the club obviously put out a bit of a statement about what happened in terms of you leaving the club and whatnot. I mean, just talk us through a little bit how it all came about, I suppose.
Well, as of about beginning of May time, obviously you can speak to other clubs, can't you? So we've been in a contract year myself. I kind of spoke to my agent and just said, like, plant some feelers out there just to see what's knocking about. Not that I realistically wanted to leave Widnes. It was just more see what's about there for me, because with my line of work away from rugby, it's quite seasonal. So I'm a landscape gardener, so I'm trying to look after myself, making sure that I can, keep earning some money, to pay my mortgage, my bills and everything like that. So I just said, I'll plant some feelers. Was anything knocking about? And then we can take it to witness and see if there's anything here, you know, to try and look after, try and look after number one, basically. And we had a few little interests from quite a few clubs. We approached witness in probably end of May and just say, listen, we've had these offers of other clubs. We do want to stay here. And then Al was quite honest with me, to be fair to Alan. He just basically said, I don't know. I don't know what the budget is fully at the minute. I don't know if I'm not going to turn around and say, yeah, we're going to keep you and then not keep you. I'm not going to turn around and say, I don't want to keep you or stuff like that. He said, just give me a month or so, keep playing and see how you get on, basically. And fast forward about 5 or 6 weeks, me and Al spoke again at training, and he said, listen, he said, do you want me to speak to your agent about next year, or do you want me to speak to you, stuff like this? I said, well, if any, when you come to make a decision, I said, just speak to me. I'm old enough now. I don't hide behind the phone or anything like that, and I wouldn't hold it against anyone. You know, I'll just have a chat and just say, listen, it's, you know, it's either good news, we want to re-sign you, or bad news, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. And it was probably, we played Sheffield, didn't we, last Sunday, and it was the Monday. I spoke to Alan and he went, listen, Ant, trying to be honest with you, we're probably not going to retain you. He said, it's nothing against you or stuff like that, but it's a business. And I was fortunate at the time, but I am fortunate that I had a 2-year deal on a pretty decent money. Pretty decent money. And, you know, if Alan's got a budget to work in, and, you know, my budget doesn't fit in that. Do you know what I mean? My salary doesn't fit in that budget. He kind of said, listen, I want to let you know now, and I'll help you any way you can, that we're not going to retain you for next year. I don't want to lead you on and come to September and say, oh, there's no deal, you know. So I needed to speak to my agent and just basically said, listen, mate, there's no deal for me there. Let's just see if those offers that we've had in the past are still knocking about. And that was where it come from. That was last Monday. day later, I had a phone call, and, you know, it was quite pretty quick then. I had a phone call off Swinton, and it was kind of like, let's make this happen sort of thing.
So, I mean, I know it's awkward because, you know, you're trying to protect your own future and stuff like that as well. How much of a bearing is it that, you know, you could have stayed at Widnes and seen your contract out and then signed elsewhere, but how much pressure do you get put under by maybe other clubs that say, well, actually, we'll only give you the 2 years if you come right away?
Yeah, so basically, the original deal was a year at Swinton for next year, but only if they're in the Championship. So, you know, it comes to the point where I'm playing at Widnes, and I absolutely love my time at Widnes, all the lads, the fans, the, you know, the coaching staff, and I ain't got a bad word to say about the club. It kind of comes, well, it's in my best interest to kind of look after my future, because if I'm playing at Widnes all year for this year and Swinton get relegated, I'm back to square one. So I was speaking to both Swinton and my agent and saying, listen, like, I don't want to come now, but what's the crack if they go down? And, you know, what happens if I'm playing for Widnes this week against Swinton? Mm. You know, so then there was a thingy there where the coach of Swinton and the agent said, well, is an opportunity to bring him in now? And they asked me if I wanted to go now. And I was quite honest and said, well, not that I did want to go now. I didn't want to leave, but you kind of have to... I have to look after my family and myself, and probably I should leave, really, to try and protect my, you know, my future. So that's how it went, really.
How much of a strain is it, this, the May the 1st thing? Because they obviously brought it in a few years ago where clubs have to tell you what's going on. But it must be quite distracting for you as a player when you're thinking, right, as soon as it gets to May 1st, you're basically going to be told whether a club's keeping you or not, and then you've got to worry about next year. How much of a worry is it?
You know, you could get injured next week, couldn't that? You know what I mean? You could have put every club I've been at, there's not really like May the 1st and it's like, bang it, here you go. You know, yes, no, or maybe. You know, it's pretty much, you can kind of get a feel of it. And it's quite hard when you're hearing of other people signing from other clubs to come to your club and people in your position at your club re-signing. Mm. You know, you hear about it and you go, well, it's a bit of a stress because if she's not spoke to me yet, well, I mustn't be wanted, you know, and things like that. So luckily, it is a stress, but I think it's more of a stress if you're a full-time player than you are if a part-time player. You know, like, as much as a full-time player, it's all you've got. Obviously, we've got jobs away from rugby, but mine's seasonal, like I said. So it's kind of it is a stress because, you know, they've not said it May the 1st, yeah, we want to keep you, and then you could get injured on May the 7th, and you know, you could touch wood, it doesn't happen to anybody, but you could get a season-ending injury, and then you're looking at scraps for next year, and that's how ruthless it is, really, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you could almost, with your line of work, you could almost done with being a rugby union player.
I know.
Obviously, when I last spoke to you, well, when I last properly interviewed you, I know, you know, you'd come back from the head thing, the brain thing, whatever, and you sort of felt like you might have had a couple more years than maybe other players would because you had that little gap in the middle of your career. Do you still feel like that?
Yeah, like I'm 32 now, and I don't feel 32 in rugby, you know, rugby terms. I still feel like. I was laughing because when I was at Widnes, there's only Danny Langtree older than me, and I still feel like a young lad, you know. So I don't feel like I've done 15 pre-seasons like some lads have done and stuff like that, you know, because I had those years out, and I still feel younger. Don't get me wrong, I haven't been as sore as other lads because I've not played the minutes, you know, that other people play. So you always feel a little bit fresher on a Tuesday when you come to training, and let's just say, Liam Kirk or Dan Murray, you play big minutes of Widnes, you know. So I don't feel old. I don't have the niggles that I feel like probably should have at my age. So I still feel pretty good, to be honest. I might not look it, but I feel it.
you mentioned the minutes there. Was that ever part of the conversation in terms of the reason why you might be leaving Widnes or might not be wanted at Widnes? Was the playing minutes an issue? I know you started for Swinton in your first game.
He never mentioned it, but, you know, let's be honest. Like, if there's player A and player B, and player A is on X amount and player B is on another amount, and player A is playing half an hour longer than player B, then you kind of get it. Do you know what I mean? So I understand that they could value for money. Like I say, it's a business. It's all got to fit into one budget. So. That may have played a part of it, but I spoke to Alan multiple times about minutes and said, like, there's certain players who say they're okay and they're knackered on the field. Well, I'm quite honest. If I'm knackered, I'll tell you I'm knackered. If I'm okay, I'll tell you I'm okay. And it's kind of, beginning of the year, I was playing more minutes, and then I was ill for the Bradford game, and then I've come back in and played less and less minutes. Now, I play better. You might, like, the longer I do, the better I feel in the game. Unless, do you know, like, if you're going on at 10 minutes before half time or 8 minutes before half time, you struggle to get in the game, and then you go off for half time and have a 10 minute rest, and you come back out and do another 10 minutes, you've not got a chance to get that second wind and actually get into the game. It's actually, as a middle, and most middles might say this, it's actually easier to start the game to get more game time out of you because you're in the game straight away. Whilst, like, I'll come off the bench and try and make a big impact to try and lift something. But then you gas really quick because of you're trying so hard to get involved straight away. But I kind of accepted that as my role at Widnes, and, you know, accepted that I was there to try and come on at half an hour and lift us as a team. Because I knew I weren't going to get massive amount of minutes. But I'd go back to the original question of how long it, you know, what if that was the reason I might not be there. No one said it is, but I can kind of expect it was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I know there's been a lot of the fans were probably quite surprised and maybe in some ways disappointed that you left. And I suppose the game that Widnes played last week was probably crying out for Ant Walker to come on in, to be honest, the way that the game went. you mentioned about the minutes, and I'll throw this at anybody who says that you're not fit, by the way. Can we talk about the Doncaster game at the start of the year where I think you did about 71 minutes and you were robbed a man of the match, in my opinion. Just talk us through that game. I think Liam Kirk went down inside the first 1 or 2 minutes. What's going through your head when that happens?
It must be a Doncaster thing because it happened at the weekend as well. it's different because if you know, it's kind of like when you come on and someone gets a head knock in minute or first set of six, you know, and then Liam Bent went down, I think, two sets later with a head knock as well. You know you're getting left out there. So you can manage yourself a little bit different. Now, you know, if we kick on tackle 4 or 5, I might not be kick chasing, but I'm there for tackle 1. And you're just managing your minutes a little bit better. But whilst if I'm coming on at 30 minutes, I've not got an excuse to kind of amble a kick chase because I'm only coming on for 10 minutes. Since I've come out of retirement and gone through my best games, they've always been when I've actually started and been played a little bit longer. I think there was Swinton last year, both at home and away. I went decent in 1895, beginning of this year at Swinton again. I started, got better minutes and went a bit better. Even all the friendlies we played at pre-season. I get better in a game the more minutes to play. So, you know, you can run all this, you can run all day at training, but that's not match fitness. So the longer minutes someone like a mid, especially a middle, the more minutes you play, the fitter you'll be anyway. This is in my opinion how I feel. Why, if you're only playing 20 to 30 minutes a game, or even my sense it might be 15 to 25 minutes a game, you're not getting that chance to get fit. And I did speak quite, you know, openly with Alan and stuff like this at Widnesses, but, you know, they're the coach and you respect the wishes. And, you know, there's lads who are built for more minutes than me, but it can be done. And that was what I kind of said. Don't think I can't do it, but it, you know, it just dwindled out.
Yeah, I mean, I know you obviously close with John Keir, you know, through Bradford, Wales, etc. How did you find the change in coach from obviously John last year compared to Alan this year?
John knows how to manage me very well. You know, I think we've worked it out. I've had him for 12 years, you know, whether it be at Wakefield, like you say, or Wales or Bradford. And obviously, as soon as John got the job here, I made the phone call probably before it was properly announced, you know, because he gets the best out of me, knowing how to manage me. And he's on at me all the time about being under a certain way. If someone leaves me to my own devices, and this is not saying like I'm not a professional, but I'll just be me. While if someone's on me 24/7, you'll get the best out of me because I'm trying to prove you wrong. And I think John did that really well. Now, Alan, I spoke to Alan before he even comes over to witness and explain things like this. And Alan was great. He's, you know, John's very defence orientated, very old school, strict. Even the training facilities, as much as he liked to have a laugh, John, it was like, you're here to play rugby, you're not here to socialise. Why, Alan was more about team camaraderie, bringing us all together. And I think it has worked. You know, you've seen the way Widnes are this year, they're a lot tighter group. And it is, you know, it's good. It'd be nice to have a balance of them both, to be honest. You know, John's defence orientated and Al's attack orientated with his, and obviously his team cohesion, why John's is like, you're here to friggin' work, you know, and work hard. And, you know, there's a old school and the new school, I suppose, you know, and if you've put them together, it probably would have been a great blend. But no, I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed having a different coach, though, because I had John for so many years. It probably helped bringing a new face in as well. You know, because you can get comfortable at the same time. As much as John didn't let me get comfortable, you can get comfortable with the same, you know, with the same same people and stuff like that. Why bringing someone new in means, you know, you might try a little bit harder in the off season to come back. To come back in shape and stuff like that, you know. So I enjoy both, but for different reasons, you know.
Yeah. What do you, looking back at your time at Widnes, what do you see as the highs and the lows, I suppose?
You know, the highs is just, I cannot fault the lads, the fans, the environment for my children when they come from start to finish. I absolutely loved everything about being there. you know, and it wasn't a decision that, like I say, I didn't want to leave. I actually wanted to stay at Widnes until I finished my career, effectively. What things happened, but my highs is probably just the way like we started the season this year, or they started the season this year, was really good. The team together, I've played with a lot and against a lot of these lads, even lads who retired like Shane Grady last year and lads who have moved on. I played amateur with Danny Craven at Blackbrook. It's just nice to play with lads who you grew up with and played against, and being so local to where I'm from and not travelling. The lows probably have been more the poor end of the season last year when we lost John and went to the dark, like, well, before John left, you know. The lows are just performances probably last year, as a team where, you know, on paper last year, I thought we should have been a team challenging the top four, and we didn't fulfil our potential. And then this year, on the flip side, I know there's been a couple of poor results recently, but the team on paper this year probably isn't quite as good as last year's team. But how Alan's got everyone to basically be better than what you have on paper, should we say, and, you know, outperform teams or been in games where last year we probably would have lost if we'd been behind, and this year we did win. So it's just things like that, really, mate. The highs and lows are pretty obvious, your performances as a team, really, and then the actual environment of the club's just a great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought, I probably agree with you, I thought Widnes could have been a third or fourth place team last season, and I thought it was demonstrated at times during the season, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. In terms of this season, clearly being a bit better, probably gone a bit deeper into the season than managed last season, playoffs is still, you would still expect Widnes to reach the playoffs, you think, based on what you've seen?
I think so, yeah. Obviously, there's been a few lads out injured and coming back now and stuff like that. But like we set targets at the beginning of the year, and it was, you know, being in the playoffs. We've not been in the playoffs since Widnes have been relegated. And then they started so well. And I think from how Widnes have started this year, playoffs is basically, my opinion, non-negotiable. You know, when beat teams or been close in games where, like I said, last year we'd have lost. I think it's a non-negotiable this year for Widnes to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. And then before I let you go, I presume you knew you were a bit of a fan's favourite, or if you didn't, you sort of know now based on the messages. Have you just got a final message to say to the fans, you know, in response?
Just thank you. Like I said, I expect, I'm like Marmite in some clubs. I was the same at Bradford. I was loved, and then when you leave, you're not loved, you know. And I feel like, because I'm quite relatable in the person, you know, I'm kind of look like I probably could be playing for Alton Hornets 1 week and playing at Widnes the week after. You know, there's my body shapes are flat. I think it's quite relatable, and I think people, because I don't take myself so seriously, and I have a laugh and a joke with anybody because that's the kind of guy I am, I think that makes people like get on and, you know, root for you a little bit more. And like I say, they've been great. My children loved it at Widnes when they hear the dad's name, you know, being sung and stuff like that. And they even sing it to me now. you know, I've got an 8-year-old telling me I eat what I want. I just want to thank them because they've made my time really enjoyable there. And like I said, it wasn't something I wanted to do. It's just something I probably had to do, which was move on. And, you know, it probably comes to a shock for some people because, you know, they see some aspects, but like I said, I tried to explain here with you, there's a lot of goes on behind the scenes, and it's not an easy decision for someone to leave halfway through a contract when you don't want to leave halfway through a contract, but it's kind of, you've got to protect your future. So yeah, just thanks, and don't be too harsh on me next season when we play against you.
So that's it from us for this week. Please do find the Facebook group, which is Widnes Rugby League Fans, and join that. We'll try and post regularly in that, and it's good to interact with other fans. If you want to hear anything from the podcast or you've got any suggestions, please drop them in there. Or you can follow Widnes Rugby on Twitter. If you want to get in touch with me directly, I'm at JDG Sport on Twitter as well. Please do subscribe, like, review, do whatever it is you need to do to spread the word about the podcast. You can listen now across numerous platforms, including our Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and more. And we'll see you next week.